Physical Models in Remote Sensing. Chapter 01, Part 01, Basic Definitions. Narrative Study Guide. EE 445/645, Physical Models in Remote Sensing. Spring 2026. Professor Rongda B. Minini, Boston University. Introduction to Physical Models in Remote Sensing. Welcome to the first chapter of Physical Models in Remote Sensing. This course explores the fundamental physics underlying how we observe and measure the Earth from above, from satellites, aircraft, and other remote platforms. Before we can understand complex radiative transfer through the atmosphere or retrieval algorithms for geophysical parameters, we must establish a solid foundation of basic concepts. In this opening presentation, we'll explore the fundamental nature of electromagnetic radiation, the carrier of information in remote sensing. We'll examine its dual nature as both wave and particle, understand the electromagnetic spectrum and how different wavelengths interact with Earth's atmosphere and surface, and establish the mathematical framework for describing radiation. We'll study three fundamental laws that govern thermal radiation: Boltzmann's law, which relates total emission to temperature, Wien's law, which tells us where emission peaks, and Planck's law, the quantum mechanical foundation from which the other laws derive. These aren't just theoretical curiosities, they're the working equations that enable thermal remote sensing of everything from sea surface temperature to fire detection to climate monitoring. Finally, we'll develop the geometric framework for describing electromagnetic radiation in three-dimensional space. Understanding solid angles, direction vectors, and coordinate systems is essential for working with radiative transfer equations and interpreting measurements from directional sensors. Electromagnetic radiation, the wave description. Let's begin with the classical understanding of electromagnetic radiation developed in the 19th century, particularly through the brilliant work of James Clerk Maxwell. What is an electromagnetic wave? Electromagnetic radiation consists of waves of the electromagnetic field that propagate through space, carrying both momentum and electromagnetic radiant energy. These waves have a remarkable property: they're self-propagating. An EM wave consists of oscillating electric and magnetic fields that are perpendicular to each other and to the direction of propagation. Unlike sound waves, which require air, or water waves, which require water, electromagnetic waves can travel through perfect vacuum. This is because they don't need a medium; they're disturbances in the electromagnetic field itself, which exists throughout space. This is how sunlight reaches Earth across 150 million kilometers of vacuum, and how satellite signals propagate through space. All electromagnetic waves travel at the speed of light in vacuum, denoted c. This is one of the most fundamental constants in physics, c equals 299,792,458 meters per second, exactly. This value is so important that since 1983, the meter is actually defined as the distance light travels in 1/299,792,458 of a second. Wave parameters, wavelength and frequency. Electromagnetic waves are characterized by two related parameters, wavelength and frequency. Wavelength, denoted by the Greek letter lambda, is the distance between successive crests of the wave. We measure wavelength in meters, but depending on the region of the spectrum, we might use micrometers for infrared, nanometers for visible light, or even smaller units for X-rays. Frequency, denoted by the Greek letter nu, is the number of oscillations per second. The unit is hertz, abbreviated hertz, where 1 hertz equals 1 oscillation per second, or 1 per second. These two quantities are related by the speed of light, c equals lambda times nu. If you know the wavelength, you can calculate the frequency, and vice versa. For example, Red light with a wavelength of 650 nanometers has a frequency of about 4.6 times 10 to the 14th Hertz. Blue light with a wavelength of 450 nanometers has a higher frequency, about 6.7 times 10 to the 14th Hertz. The electromagnetic spectrum. The electromagnetic spectrum encompasses an enormous range of wavelengths and frequencies, from radio waves with wavelengths longer than a meter to gamma rays with wavelengths smaller than an atom. All of these are fundamentally the same phenomenon, electromagnetic waves, differing only in wavelength and frequency. Let me walk through the spectrum from long wavelengths to short. Radio waves have wavelengths greater than about 1 millimeter. These are used in radar remote sensing and communications. Microwaves, with wavelengths from 1 millimeter to 1 meter, are used in microwave remote sensing, for example, measuring soil moisture or ice thickness. Infrared radiation spans a huge range from 700 nanometers to 1 millimeter. The near-infrared, from 700 to about 1,400 nanometers, is crucial for vegetation remote sensing because healthy plants strongly reflect near-infrared light. The thermal infrared, from about 3 to 15 micrometers, is where Earth's thermal emission occurs. This is the foundation of thermal remote sensing. Visible light, the narrow band our eyes can see, spans only about 380 to 700 nanometers. This is the region where solar radiation peaks, which is no accident. Our eyes evolve to be sensitive where sunlight is strongest. Within the visible range, we perceive different wavelengths as different colors, violet and blue at the short wavelength end, green in the middle, and orange and red at the long wavelength end. Ultraviolet radiation, from 10 to 380 nanometers, is mostly absorbed by the ozone layer, which is fortunate because UV radiation can damage DNA. X-rays and gamma rays, with even shorter wavelengths, carry enormous energy and are used in medical imaging and astrophysics, though rarely in Earth remote sensing. Electromagnetic radiation, the particle description. Now we turn to a revolutionary discovery from the early 20th century. Electromagnetic radiation also behaves as particles. This particle nature was first proposed by Max Planck and Albert Einstein, and it fundamentally changed our understanding of light and energy. Planck's quantum hypothesis. In 1900, Max Planck was studying the spectrum of radiation emitted by heated objects, what we call blackbody radiation. Classical wave theory made a catastrophically wrong prediction. It said that hot objects should emit infinite energy at short wavelengths. This was called the ultraviolet catastrophe. Planck's revolutionary solution was to propose that energy is emitted and absorbed not continuously, but only in discrete packets called quanta. Each quantum carries energy equal to h times nu, where h is Planck's constant, a fundamental constant of nature equal to 6.626 times 10 to the minus 34 joule seconds. This was a radical idea. It meant that energy comes in discrete chunks, not a continuous spectrum of values. You can have one quantum, two quanta, three quanta, but never 1.5 quanta. This quantization of energy was the birth of quantum mechanics. Einstein and the photon. In 1905, Albert Einstein took Planck's idea further. Einstein was trying to explain the photoelectric effect, the observation that light can eject electrons from metals. Classical wave theory couldn't explain three puzzling facts. Only light above a certain frequency could eject electrons regardless of intensity. Higher frequency light ejected electrons with more kinetic energy, and electron ejection was instantaneous. Einstein proposed that light consists of real particles, discrete packets of energy that we now call photons. Each photon carries energy E equals h nu. When a photon hits an electron in the metal, it can transfer all its energy to that electron. If the photon energy exceeds the binding energy holding the electron in the metal, the electron is ejected. This beautifully explained all three observations. Later, in 1926, the name photon was coined to correspond with other particles being discovered around that time, such as electrons and protons. The photon is now understood to be the quantum particle of electromagnetic radiation. Properties of photons. Photons have remarkable properties. They carry energy E equals h nu, or equivalently, hc divided by lambda. This means higher frequency photons, with shorter wavelengths, carry more energy. A blue photon carries more energy than a red photon. An X-ray photon carries vastly more energy than a visible light photon. Despite having zero rest mass, photons carry momentum equal to their energy divided by the speed of light. This momentum is what causes radiation pressure, the tiny push that light exerts on surfaces. It's weak here on Earth, but in space, radiation pressure from sunlight can be used to propel spacecraft with solar sails. Photons are electrically neutral, they carry no electric charge. They always travel at the speed of light in vacuum. And they're bosons, meaning they have integer spin and can occupy the same quantum state in unlimited numbers, unlike fermions such as electrons, which obey the Pauli exclusion principle. Wave-particle duality, resolving the paradox. So which is it? Is light a wave or a particle? This question troubled physicists for decades in the early 20th century. The answer is both profound and subtle. The evolution of understanding. In the 19th century, the distinction seemed clear. Light behaves as waves, as demonstrated by interference and diffraction experiments. Matter consists of particles, atoms and molecules with definite positions and velocities. But the early 20th century shattered this neat division. First, light was discovered to have particle properties through the photoelectric effect in 1905 and Compton scattering in 1923, where X-rays scatter off electrons like billiard balls. Then, in a stunning reversal, matter was discovered to have wave properties. Louis de Broglie proposed in 1924 that all matter has an associated wavelength, and this was confirmed experimentally in 1927 when electron diffraction was observed. The confusion arose from trying to force quantum objects into classical categories. The resolution, articulated by Niels Bohr, is the principle of complementarity. Wave and particle descriptions are complementary aspects of quantum entities. Both are needed for a complete description. Which aspect manifests depends on the type of measurement being performed. The double-slit experiment. The famous double-slit experiment beautifully illustrates this duality. Imagine sending individual photons, one at a time, through two narrow slits. Each photon arrives at the detector as a discrete particle, a localized detection event. But after many photons have been sent through, the pattern on the detector shows interference fringes characteristic of waves. The paradox is that each photon seems to interfere with itself. It somehow knows about both slits and creates an interference pattern, even though it's detected as a discrete particle. This isn't a failure of the theory, it's the nature of quantum reality. We cannot simultaneously observe both the wave nature and the particle nature. Implications for remote sensing. In remote sensing, we use whichever description is most convenient for the phenomenon we're studying. For spectral properties, wavelength, frequency, color, we use the wave description. For understanding dispersion, polarization, and interference, waves are the natural framework. For detection events and energy transfer, we use the particle description. Photon counters literally count individual photons. The photoelectric effect in detectors is inherently particle-like. Statistical fluctuations in photon arrivals, what we call shot noise, arise from the discrete nature of photons. For propagation phenomena like diffraction, which limits the resolution of optical systems, we use wave optics. For radiative transfer calculations, we often use a hybrid approach, treating photons as particles for tracking purposes while using wave properties to determine scattering. Boltzmann's law, total emission from hot bodies. Now we turn to the laws that govern thermal radiation, radiation emitted by objects due to their temperature. These laws are fundamental to thermal remote sensing. The Stefan-Boltzmann law. Boltzmann's law, also called the Stefan-Boltzmann law, states that the total radiant power emitted per unit area by a blackbody is proportional to the fourth power of its absolute temperature. Mathematically, M equals sigma times T to the fourth power. Here, M is the total radiant excitance, the power per unit area emitted in all directions and at all wavelengths. The units are watts per square meter. Sigma is the Stefan-Boltzmann constant, equal to 5.67 times 10 to the minus 8th watts per square meter per Kelvin to the fourth power. T is the absolute temperature in Kelvin. The power of the fourth power. The fourth power dependence is remarkable. A small increase in temperature causes a dramatic increase in emission. If you double the temperature, you increase the emission by a factor of 2 to the fourth power, which is 16. An object at 600 Kelvin emits 16 times more power per unit area than an object at 300 Kelvin. This explains why hot objects are so much brighter than cool objects. The Sun, with a surface temperature around 5,800 Kelvin, emits about 63 million watts per square meter. Earth, with an average temperature around 288 Kelvin, emits only about 390 watts per square meter. The Sun's surface is only about 20 times hotter, but it emits over 160,000 times more power per unit area. Applications in remote sensing. Boltzmann's law is fundamental to thermal remote sensing. If we measure the total radiance from a surface and know its emissivity, we can calculate its temperature. Temperature equals the fourth root of m divided by epsilon times sigma, where epsilon is the emissivity. This is used for measuring sea surface temperature, land surface temperature, detecting fires in volcanoes, and studying urban heat islands. The fourth power dependence also means that hot targets stand out dramatically. A fire at 1000 Kelvin emits about 146 times more power per unit area than the surrounding landscape at 300 Kelvin, making fires easy to detect in thermal imagery. Wien's displacement law, where emission peaks. While Boltzmann's law tells us about total emission, Wien's displacement law tells us about the spectral distribution, specifically where the emission peaks. The inverse relationship. Wien's law states that the wavelength at which a blackbody emits maximum spectral radiance is inversely proportional to its absolute temperature. Mathematically, lambda max equals b divided by t, where b is Wien's displacement constant, equal to 2.898 times 10 to the minus 3rd meter Kelvin, or 2898 micrometer Kelvin. This inverse relationship is profound. Higher temperature means shorter peak wavelength. Hot objects emit primarily at short wavelengths, they're blue shifted. Cool objects emit primarily at long wavelengths, they're red shifted. The color of hot objects. This explains the color of hot objects. An object heated to about 800 Kelvin glows dull red because its emission peak is around 3.6 micrometers in the infrared, but the tail of the distribution extends into the visible red. At 5800 Kelvin, the Sun's temperature, the peak is at 0.5 micrometers, which is green. The Sun appears yellowish-white because our eyes integrate over the entire visible spectrum, but its peak emission is in the green. For Earth, with average temperature 288 Kelvin, Wien's law gives a peak wavelength of about 10 micrometers, right in the thermal infrared atmospheric window. This is no accident. This is where thermal remote sensing systems operate. Spectral separation of solar and terrestrial radiation. Wien's law explains a crucial fact in remote sensing. Solar and terrestrial radiation are spectrally separated. Solar radiation peaks at 0.5 micrometers in the visible. Terrestrial emission peaks at 10 micrometers in the thermal infrared. There's almost no overlap. This separation is enormously useful. At wavelengths less than about 3 micrometers, what we measure is primarily reflected sunlight. At wavelengths greater than about 4 micrometers, what we measure is primarily thermal emission. The region from 3 to 4 micrometers is a transition where both can contribute. This is important for fire detection, where the hot fire emission peaks in this range. Planck's law, the fundamental description. We've discussed Boltzmann's law and Wien's law, but both are actually derived from a more fundamental law, Planck's law. This is one of the most important equations in all of physics. The complete spectral distribution. Planck's law describes the complete spectral distribution of electromagnetic radiation emitted by a blackbody in thermal equilibrium. It tells us exactly how much radiance is emitted at each wavelength for a given temperature. In the wavelength formulation, Planck's law states, B lambda of lambda and T equals 2hc squared divided by lambda to the fifth power, times 1 divided by the quantity e to the hc over lambda kt minus 1. This looks complicated, but each term has meaning. The prefactor, 2hc squared over lambda to the fifth, determines the overall scale and contains fundamental constants. H is Planck's constant and c is the speed of light. The exponential term contains the ratio of photon energy to thermal energy, hc over lambda kt. This governs how the spectrum changes with temperature. The k in the denominator is Boltzmann's constant. Deriving the other laws. Planck's law is fundamental because the other laws derive from it. If you integrate Planck's law over all wavelengths and all directions, you get Boltzmann's law with its t to the fourth dependence. If you find where Planck's function reaches its maximum by taking the derivative with respect to wavelength and setting it equal to zero, you derive Wien's displacement law. This isn't just mathematical manipulation. It shows that Planck's quantum description is the foundation from which classical results emerge. Boltzmann's law and Wien's law are consequences of the more fundamental quantum mechanics encoded in Planck's law. Applications in remote sensing. Planck's law is used constantly in thermal remote sensing. Blackbody sources at known temperatures are used to calibrate thermal sensors. The measured radiance is inverted using Planck's law to retrieve brightness temperature. Atmospheric emission is modeled using Planck's law at the atmospheric temperature. In the transition region around 3 to 4 micrometers where both reflected solar radiation and thermal emission contribute, Planck's law helps separate these components. This is crucial for applications like fire detection and monitoring high temperature events. Characterizing photons, the seven dimensions. Having established that we can think of electromagnetic radiation as photons, let's be precise about how we characterize these photons. Photon energy. The energy of a photon is given by the fundamental relation, E equals h nu, or equivalently, hc divided by lambda. This connects the wave properties, frequency and wavelength, to the particle property of energy. Let's calculate some examples. A red photon with wavelength 650 nanometers has energy about 3.06 times 10 to the minus 19th joules, or 1.91 electron volts. A blue photon with wavelength 450 nanometers has energy 4.42 times 10 to the minus 19th joules, or 2.76 electron volts, about 44% more energy than red. A thermal infrared photon at 10 micrometers has much less energy, only 1.99 times 10 to the minus 20th joules, or 0.124 electron volts. The complete photon state. To completely specify a photon state, we need seven dimensions. First, three spatial coordinates specify where the photon is x, y, and z position. Second, two angular coordinates specify which direction the photon is traveling. We can use the polar angle theta and azimuthal angle phi, or equivalently, the three components of a unit direction vector omega. Third, one spectral coordinate specifies the photon's frequency nu or wavelength lambda. These are related by c equals nu times lambda, so knowing one determines the other. Fourth, one temporal coordinate specifies when, time t. So a complete photon state is described by x, y, z, theta, phi, nu, and t, seven dimensions. This seven-dimensional space is called phase space. Radiative transfer operates in this phase space, tracking how photon distributions evolve. Geometric framework, solid angles and directions. To work with directional quantities in radiative transfer, we need a mathematical framework for describing directions in three-dimensional space. Solid angle. The solid angle is the three-dimensional analog of ordinary angle. Just as an ordinary angle measures an arc on a circle, a solid angle measures an area on a sphere. Mathematically, the solid angle d omega equals the area element d divided by the radius squared. For a complete sphere, the total solid angle is 4 pi steradians. For a hemisphere, it's 2 pi steradians. The unit, steradian, is actually dimensionless, it's area divided by area, but we give it a name for clarity. In spherical coordinates, the solid angle element is d omega equals sine theta d phi, where theta is the polar angle from vertical and phi is the azimuthal angle around the vertical axis. Direction vectors and directional cosines. A direction in space can be represented by a unit vector omega with components omega x, omega y, and omega z. Because it's a unit vector, these components satisfy omega x squared plus omega y squared plus omega z squared equals 1. These components are called directional cosines because they equal the cosines of the angles between the direction vector and the coordinate axes. For example, omega z equals the cosine of the angle between the direction and the vertical axis. In spherical coordinates, the directional cosines can be expressed as omega x equals sine theta cosine phi, omega y equals sine theta sine phi, and omega z equals cosine theta. These relationships connect the angular representation to the Cartesian component representation. Angular integration. Many quantities in radiative transfer require integration over solid angles. For example, to get flux from intensity, we integrate intensity over all directions in a hemisphere, weighted by the cosine of the angle. Let's consider two simple but important integrals. First, the integral over a full sphere of d omega equals 4 pi. This is the total solid angle of a sphere. Second, the integral over the upper hemisphere of cosine theta times d omega equals pi. This appears in converting between intensity and flux. These geometric considerations aren't just mathematical formalism, they're essential for correctly relating measurements to physical quantities. A satellite sensor with a certain field of view samples a certain solid angle. Converting that measurement to a surface flux requires these angular integrations. Conclusion and looking forward. Let's review what we've covered in this foundational presentation. we explored the dual nature of electromagnetic radiation. As waves, EMR consists of oscillating electric and magnetic fields propagating through space at speed c, characterized by wavelength and frequency. As particles, EMR consists of photons, discrete energy packets with energy E equals h nu. We resolved the wave-particle paradox through quantum mechanics' complementarity principle. Both descriptions are needed, and which manifests depends on the measurement. In remote sensing, we use whichever description is most convenient for the phenomenon at hand. We surveyed the electromagnetic spectrum from radio waves to gamma rays, understanding that different wavelengths have different properties and applications in remote sensing. The visible and near-infrared are used for reflected solar radiation measurements. The thermal infrared is used for temperature measurements. Microwaves penetrate clouds and can measure soil moisture. We studied three fundamental laws of thermal radiation. Boltzmann's law relates total emission to T to the fourth power. Wien's law tells us the peak emission wavelength is inversely proportional to temperature. Planck's law provides the complete quantum mechanical description from which the other laws derive. We established that photons are characterized by seven dimensions, three for position, two for direction, one for frequency, and one for time. This seven-dimensional phase space is where radiative transfer operates. Finally, we developed the geometric framework of solid angles, direction vectors, and angular integration necessary for working with directional radiative transfer. These concepts form the foundation for everything that follows in this course. In the next sections, we'll build on this foundation to develop radiometric quantities, the radiative transfer equation, and methods for solving remote sensing problems. As you study the presentation slides, focus on understanding the physical meaning behind the mathematics. When you see Planck's law, think about hot objects emitting photons whose energies are determined by temperature and wavelength. When you see a solid angle integral, visualize summing contributions from different directions in space. These aren't abstract concepts. They describe the real physical processes that enable remote sensing. Photons from the sun travel through space, interact with Earth's atmosphere and surface, and reach satellite sensors where they're detected and counted. Every measurement we make, every image we process, every retrieval algorithm we run is based on these fundamental principles. Good luck with your studies.